Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking crime in Tuolumne County, joined in studio by Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley. Sheriff Pooley, as we ended the first segment, you were talking a little bit about the crimes of opportunity during the winter months and the holiday season. You know, when you look back on the past year, what has kind of stood out when it comes to crime stats?
For us, it's been a very busy year. Our calls have gone up 2.18%. We have a total of 51,843 calls this last year, which is a lot of calls for service. And that includes everything, traffic stops, citations, suspicious persons. We had 2,500 plus arrests this last year. We had over 1,000 domestic violence and disturbance calls. Our dispatch center this year, they had 161,000 calls into our dispatch center, which is just an amazing amount of calls. And of that, 33,000 were emergency calls, 911 calls.
I assume, too, county budget's always tight, so I assume that you're always looking for more sheriff's deputies to join the staff?
Yeah, you know, we have actually less deputies than we had back in 1997. Back then, we only had about 18,000 calls for service. We're up to 51,000, almost 52,000 calls for service, and we actually have less deputies now than we do. We have a definite need for more deputies.
Has it been a challenge to recruit deputies to this area of the state?
I think across the state, it's a challenge to recruit in law enforcement. It's not the, you know, we've been beaten up over the last several years in the media, and folks have kind of drifted away from the law enforcement profession. We're still getting great young individuals coming from our community. They're doing a great job. We just had a recent recruitment, and I think we have the testing this weekend. We'll do the physical agility and the written test this weekend. We're pretty excited to see the group that turns out.
What would you say is kind of the drug of choice that you're seeing right now among the community?
Obviously, it's the two big ones, methamphetamine, opiates, or heroin. Those are the big ones we're seeing. We still have a lot of marijuana use, vaping and whatnot in the schools. It's interesting how prevalent the vaping is. If you talk to these kids, they're doing it in class. It's almost a challenge to see if they can actually use a vape pen in a classroom and not be detected or caught by the teacher. It's a challenge for these kids. It's very unfortunate. You're starting to read about a lot of kids getting injured and hurt with these vape pens. They're very dangerous. It's something we really need to get a handle on.
What advice do you have for parents in the community who may not know that this is going on as prevalent as it is?
You know, I saw a jacket the other day. It's a standard jacket like you put on, and it had the pull-down strings around your collar, and actually one of the strings was a vape pen. So they're very hard to detect. So I would ask parents to go out, look at start Googling and looking at these things, start educating yourself, looking for these items in your kids' possession, and have those strong discussions with your kids. Explain to them how dangerous this is. There's no need to be doing it. It's still tobacco use. It's still drug use. Even though it's been painted almost like this neat niche thing, it's still very, very dangerous. And parents have got to have those hard conversations with their children.
On the issue of marijuana, do you still see quite a bit of those larger drug grows out in rural areas that you come across from time to time?
Not as much. With the new ordinance, a lot of folks are growing it themselves. We do still have a large amount of illegal grows. We've taken off a few this year. They're out there. We're just not seeing them as much. I think a lot of them have probably gone indoors.
Mm-hmm. Do you see much heroin lately in the community?
Yeah, it's still out there. It's still way up there as far as use. It's number two just behind methamphetamine in the amounts that we're confiscating.
Is it originating locally, or is it coming up from the valley and places like that?
All the drugs obviously come from outside of our county. They're imported. They're coming in. They're being smuggled in and sold, or folks are going down to the valley and purchasing and then bringing it back up.
Another big topic lately has been the PG&E power shutoffs. I know the sheriff's office has been active during those times. You know, what kind of impact did those have on your office?
The first one we had was a real good test of our resiliency. We found we did very well. We did have a little glitch in the second one. Our generator, which powers our dispatch center and basically our main office, didn't start up right away. It took about 15-20 minutes to get it started. It's just a small mechanical problem that we fixed. But we did learn that even the battery backups that are in our dispatch center, it's probably time to replace those. It's better to be safe than sorry. So we've gone out, we've bought new battery backups. We feel like we're very prepared for these blackouts.
Were you getting quite a few unique calls from the power outage times?
We had a few folks that called that didn't have flashlights. A lot of the elderly tend to cook in their microwaves and things like that. We had a lot of calls about, you know, I don't have anything to eat. We directed them to the proper resources. We delivered flashlights to a couple of individuals that needed them. So,
was there a lot of coordination ahead of time between, you know, your office and other agencies ahead of these outages?
Yeah, obviously we met with the county OES. We had a few meetings there. We just went through all the steps and tried to think ahead as, you know, make sure that the power is going to kick on so that we have power in the jail, our dispatch center, our main office, and those types of things. As we went through the paces, we found that we had a few things that we could improve on. Like I said, it was a good test of just to see how resilient we can be. We did a good job. I think we did, all in all, we did very good.
Next thing I'm going to ask you about is if you've been, you know, around the Junction Shopping Center lately, and we've done a news story in regards to this, but seen some mounted patrols, some horses going in different areas with the sheriff's office. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, this is one of the programs I'm most excited about. We just recently started our mounted unit patrol. Obviously, for goodness sakes, we're Tuolumne County. How do we not have a horse patrol? We got it up. We got it running. We've got six individuals that are on the team now. They can be used for patrols like we're doing in the Junction Shopping Center. We can use them for search and rescue. Obviously, they were in the Christmas parade and then the Twain Hart parade. It's a great mechanism for PR. It allows folks to come up. Everybody wants to pet the horses. They get to talk to the deputies. They get to know us. And it's about being part of the community. It's just been fantastic, the responses we have gotten. You know, I went out and saw the guys out there the other day, and people were yelling across the parking lot, "Hey, great job. Love to see this." So far, it's been fantastic. I'm really excited about it.
When you have horses with the mounted patrol, do they have to go through any special training, or are they just...
It is very rigorous training. Not only do you have to certify the horse that the horse will... We want the horses to be able to be calm in any situation. We don't want them to react to a car backfiring, those types of things. It's amazing to watch them train. They wave flags in their faces. They set off firecrackers. They put tear gas out with them. They do everything they possibly can to make sure that these horses are as calm and are as approachable as possible. And then on the flip side, we have to train the deputies to make sure they know how to ride the horse and maneuver the horse in the proper manner. It's been probably 6 months worth of training, and we're just now getting started. So I'm super, super excited about it.
Was it hard to convince deputies to step up to do this, or were they lined up around the corner?
Well, they weren't lined up around the corner because not everyone has a horse to be able to do something like this with. As we move forward and as they're out in the public more, I think we're going to see more and more deputies want to be involved with the program. It's a matter of you have to be able to own a horse, have a place to house it. Not everybody has that. We do have a few deputies that have extra property. Maybe we could put an extra horse there. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it'll grow. I have no doubt in my mind.
And have you also added some new canines on staff as well?
Yes, we just added two new dogs. We have Thor and Riker, which are going to replace Bo and Hans. We're sad to see them go, but they've reached their retirement age, and we want them to be able to live out the rest of their life healthy and active, and you just don't want to overwork them because they'll end up getting joint problems just as you and I will or athletes do. These dogs are highly trained. They're in and out of the car. They're jumping over stuff constantly. So once they start showing a little bit of wear and tear, we want them to retire. We want to retire them so they live out their life healthy. So we just added these two new dogs. They should be coming out on the streets very shortly. I know one of them just got certified last week, so we should be seeing Thor here very soon.
Do they also go home with the deputies that they're assigned to?
Yep. Actually, both the dogs that just retired, they're going to live with their current handlers. the new handlers, the dogs come home with them. They're part of the family. They're they sit down, they play with the kids and do all that kind of stuff in the evenings. So
what are the unique things that canines can do to benefit the sheriff's office?
Well, you know, everybody says this term, they're a force multiplier. They really are. So if you have a deputy that's out on a traffic stop by themselves, having that dog there, having, when a suspect knows that there's a dog there, that they're going to obey the deputy a lot better. A lot of times people won't come out of the house or won't come out of a car. You get that dog out, the dog starts barking, hey, we're going to send the dog in after you. They give up real quick. No one gets hurt. It's a fantastic tool. Not only that, they're all trained to search for narcotics. So if you're on a traffic stop or something like that, if we're doing a probation search in a home, we can send the dog in. It saves us time. We have all kinds of fines for narcotics with these dogs.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Sheriff Bill Pooley on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.